The reading this morning is taken from Hebrews, and you'll find that on page 1210. And we read chapter 11, starting at verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that not only together, but with us, would they be made perfect. And we continue on chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. First of all, if you don't know me, I'll introduce myself. I am Cyril. And I am one of the holy relics. You know what the holy relics are? They are retired ministers who come to this church. In fact, I'm a senior one. Now, what was that reading about? There's going to be a couple of verses up here at the moment, and they're the last two verses, and they are concerned with the fact that the Christian life is a race. Has anybody ever taken part in a race? Anybody? What about school races? Anybody been in a race? Yes? Oh, good. What kind of race was it? Yes? Was it a running race?
Yeah.
Yeah, a running race. Good. All right. So do you know, the last thing I did before I retired as a vicar was to win a race. And I'll tell you about it. Let me get my equipment. Well, here we are. I was vicar of a village close. Anybody been to Saunton or Woolacombe? Yeah, marvellous places. Well, this is 6 miles inland from there, and I was vicar there. And on Shrove Tuesday, just before Lent, they used to have sports for lots of events for children. But there was also an event for adults. Anybody over the age of 16. So I thought, well, as vicar, I must register. So I registered and took part in the race. Well, you can see what we had to do. We had pancakes. Well, that's not quite a pancake. But what we had to do is we had to toss them and catch them. As we ran about 100 yards. So it's a good race. And shall I tell you the reasons I won? Well, there were two, really. Let me show you the first one. Oh, sorry. Oh, thank you. That was the size of the frying pan that the pancake was cooked in, and that was the size of the one I used. So, but I'll tell you something else. There were only two other contestants. And what's more, they were both heavily pregnant. Well now, this race that's referred to in the verse, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, is not a sprint. It's not a fun race like that was. It's a marathon. Or at least it was a long distance race. And you know, that's what the Christian life is. It's a long distance race. And so it says, let us run with patience, with perseverance, with endurance, the race that is set before us. And this means it's not always easy. Now, I'm an expert on marathons. Well, no, I haven't been in any, but I've watched a lot, and I've supported people in them. And do you know what it's like? We went to the London Marathon a few years ago, and we got off the underground at Shadwell, I think it was, and it's a very good place because the runners have done about a mile at that point, and then they do a tremendous loop and come back the opposite side of the road. So you can see them at the beginning and the end. Anyway, it was very interesting at the beginning because first of all, you get the people from Kenya. I'm sorry, they're not from Sierra Leone. The people from Kenya. And they're like running machines, aren't they? It's absolutely staggering. And they seem to be so relaxed. But then you see eventually some people coming along and going, and they've only done a mile. And do you know why? Because they've come thinking it's a sprint, that it's not a marathon. And some Christians are like that. You know, we think, oh yes, it's going to be easy when I become a Christian. And they don't realize that it takes perseverance and time, and it's a thing throughout life. And then some came along like that. Because their BMI was wrong. Their body mass index, or in rude words, they were too fat. And then others came along, and they were going, ooh, ooh. And the reason was that they were wearing the wrong shoes. And you know, in the Christian life, we need, first of all, to be in training. And we need to have the right equipment. The armour of the Christian, I can't think of anything about running, but there is that. And we need to make sure that we're ready. Because the Christian life can be difficult in all kinds of ways, can't it? Perhaps you know at work, you've suddenly been told you're going to be made redundant. And your faith goes right down, doesn't it? You say, God, why has this happened to me? It's not fair. Or perhaps, you know, you've been clobbered by sickness or something. And you feel, oh, I feel like giving up. Or perhaps you've been praying for something. Everybody else's prayers get answered except yours. And you say to yourself, oh, I've had enough of this, I'm going to give up. It's very easy, isn't it? And perhaps many of us have felt those kind of feelings sometimes. Let's be honest. I won't ask you to confess now. But anyway, so there are various reasons for people give up. And if you watch the race, you'll see that some give up near the beginning, Some give up, they get almost to the end and they give up. It's really quite sad. For one reason or another, they can't carry on. Now, there are some answers in these verses. First of all, that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Anybody seen the Olympic Stadium? We've seen it on telly. Yeah, well, you know what it's like. There are all the banks of seats and people watching, and they're watching the race going round and round, and it's quite thrilling. Well, you know, we've got a great crowd of watchers. There's people like Abraham and Moses and Gideon. They're all witnesses to what God has done, and they're watching us in the race. That's what the verses seem to say. And, you know, we can get great encouragement from thinking about them. Gideon. I was reading about him recently. Did you know about Gideon? Everybody know about Gideon? If you don't, you ought to get to know your Bible stories. There's a good book for children called 365 Stories. And I've often read it with grandchildren, so it helped me, because it tells stories like Gideon. Do you remember Gideon? How the Philistines were oppressing the people, and one day Gideon, he'd gone, he was really scared. So although he was beating out the corn, which was normally done outside, he'd gone into the wine press, the little room. He was doing this. Suddenly an angel came to him. "Hey, Gideon, mighty man of valor, God's going to use you." They say, "Excuse me, you must be joking. You've got the wrong person." And anyway, he said, "No, I'm going to equip you." And you know, it's such an encouragement to read something like that, because the God that we've got is just the same today as he was with people like Gideon, as he was with Moses. Do you remember old Moses? When he was called, he said, "Oh no, Lord, I can't speak. I'm no good. Don't ask me." And you'll find that there are a lot of people like that. And so we've got that great cloud of witnesses. But you know, there are witnesses in other ways. And that's you and me. Do you notice one thing about these verses? They're lettuce verses. Did you know that? Let us. And the emphasis throughout them is, I am not a lone ranger as a Christian. I am part of something bigger. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. This is something that we do together. We belong together. If you're visiting us this morning, make sure you belong to the church you attend. If you're going to come here, well, commit yourselves totally. If you're going to stay where you are, great. It's nice to have a change during the summer. But I think this is so important that we encourage one another. And you know, that little saying, that, what was it? Well done is better than well said. We've got a wonderful support network in this church. If ever you're really sick and ill, you may well be the beneficiary of that, with people bringing meals and that kind of thing. But this is so important, encouraging one another. I was really pleased that we've had this series of sermons on one another, because it's so vital for all of us. And let's encourage one another. Perhaps you feel you're a bit old and that you're not much good now. You can't go and help you go in his club. Well, you might be able to. He needs all kinds of helpers there with his club for young people, after school club. Or it may be that you've just got to support. You say, "Ugo, what have you been up to?" Or you say, "Kirsty," or one of the others, "What have you been doing?" And you know, it means so much. Encouragement like that. And so let's seek to encourage one another. Well now, there are just two other things I want to say. The first is, I'm going to tell you about a marathon we watched. It was winter, so I'd better put my coat on. It was winter, and we'd gone to watch our son on the Beachy Head Marathon. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. It's wonderful. And then the last mile goes down into Eastbourne, where it ends. Well, anyway, we were there, and the idea was that when our son passed, that his senior son, our grandson, who was then about 15 or 16, would run the last mile with him. But then, junior grandson of 5 suddenly thought, I'll run with him too. So he went off. Well, I was scared stiff, because there was the edge of the cliff, and there was Daniel almost falling over. So I rushed out in my overcoat, gloves, lots of jumpers, and grabbed him and took him back. And you know, I couldn't have run very far like that. I was so hot. And, you know, it talks in that verse about laying aside every weight. It talks about sin. Perhaps you've got sins that need to be got out of the way. I won't go into the details now. That needs to be another occasion. But perhaps there are other weights that are holding you down from being free to run that race with the Lord Jesus, whatever it means. We had a curate once who was a great footballer, into football. And you know, the Lord said to him, you've got to lay aside your football. And so for a year he didn't have anything to do with football. But he was able to come back because it was dominating his life, taking over. Now, just one other thing. Two other things. But when you're watching them on the race, you'll find that at intervals there are tables like this. And as they go past, the runners grab, drink it and do something you should never do other than on the race. They throw the bottle down. But anyway, you know why? Why do you think they have to drink like that? I'll tell you, because there's a danger of them getting dried up, dehydrated. And you know, with us, there's a danger of getting dehydrated. Are we drinking? Are we drinking from the Bible, the Word of God? Are we drinking from prayer? Are we drinking from fellowship with one another? We need to make sure we don't become dehydrated. And then, of course, the most important thing of all, the verses talk about fixing our eyes on Jesus. And twice in this passage, it talks about Jesus going through it and so being able to help us when we have needs, when the going is difficult. And so, we are called to run in a race. Is it a sprint? A short sprint? No. No, it's a marathon. We are called to it together. And we're called to look at Jesus, to lay aside every weight, and to encourage one another, and take courage from those people in the past. Thank you.